What is up, Wisconsin? Happy almost Friday. I like it when it's almost Friday. That's a good thing. Hope it is just as beautiful wherever you are as it is here in downtown Waukesha. Just a gorgeous and perfect Wisconsin summer afternoon. We've been talking for the first hour, and we will continue to take your calls and comments, both good, bad, and the ugly, here on the Maggie Dawn Show on Civic Media about my colleague Earl Ingram's interview with President Biden last week. Two things. One, Earl shared that the Biden campaign provided him suggested questions before the interview. And today, Civic Media shared publicly that the campaign requested two small edits to the interview before it aired and that those edits were made. We have now shared the edits specifically so you can listen to those alone. And you can listen, of course, to the full unedited interview. It is available, as well as Civic Media's statement on the matter, at civicmedia.us. You have an opinion? I want to hear it. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Jeannie from Eau Claire, always like to see you on my caller list. What do you have to say about this, Jeannie? I'm interested.
Well, first of all, I want to say you have very good journalistic skills. I studied journalism at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, had outstanding instructors. You know, there's all areas of journalism, and interviewing is a different type of journalism. And, you know, they have a short period of time. They have to have a topic and a structure and a format to get through the questions and to not sway into other topics. And also, I didn't see anything wrong with the interview. And I also saw that I think that our president has more cognitive skills than people are giving him credit for. And that being, when these topics are so important to our country, and he was answering the question, he caught himself because he started to go into, you know, the harmful effects of what we've suffered in the past and what we're going to suffer in the future if Trump would take charge of our country again. But he caught himself, and he got back on the question again, and then he'd catch himself because, you know, he'd add more things. Now, if you have cognitive difficulties, you don't do those kinds of things. You don't go off like Donald J. Trump, who never answers questions. He gets off on a tangent, and then he goes to another tangent, and then he goes to something else. He was...
Sorry, Jeannie. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and he answered questions. I was really impressed. And Civic Media didn't do anything wrong. I think Civic Media is outstanding. You let everybody give their point of view, you know, and within reason, we all have to be held within check. I get going sometimes on a tangent. I think
President Biden is
more than qualified. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Listen, there have been criticisms about, quote, the liberal media forever. Here's what I understand about the world's biggest media organizations. They're corporations with shareholders trying to make a profit. So if you're going to criticize Fox News or Civic Media or MSNBC, you got to criticize the whole spectrum. Reporters, journalists, they have their political viewpoints. Because I do commentary and opinion work, I make my viewpoints and my opinions plain. I'm not trying to hide the ball here. Certainly, I think Civic Media did the right thing by coming forward and sharing this. And by the way, I just want to be very clear. I listen to Earl almost every day. And on Wednesday, the day that the presidential interview was being recorded, Earl was asked by a caller live on air, hey, did the campaign give you the questions ahead of time? And Earl said yes. So from a disclosure perspective, that was out there before the interview even aired. So I appreciate everybody's viewpoint. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're going to close out this topic, this segment. So if you want to get your 2 cents in, your nickel, or even a quarter's worth, you got to do it now. Let me go back to the text lines. Jim from Appleton says this. I think that the Biden campaign's fear with the first edit was that someone would pick up on the statement, I have more Black people in my administration than all other previous administrations, because that isn't that specific statement isn't true. I think Biden had a misstatement. He had been talking about he has the first Black female vice president. He's appointed more Black judges than any other president. And so I think he was just overgeneralizing there. And I think there may have been a concern about the sort of dogma of false equivalencies that comes from the right that, oh, they do it too. Well, there's a difference between lying about January 6th and slightly overstating the fact that you've appointed more Black judges than any other president in history, which is what the president, you know, somewhat different consequences for those two misstatements or lies, if you want to call them that. Let's see. Tracy Anderson has some pretty pointed criticism for me listening on WMDX. Tracy Anderson from Johnson Creek telling me to get off the air, bring back the Matt Flynn show and put Tom Hartman on. At least they have actual knowledge. Thanks for the positive feedback, Tracy. I will try to do better. But like I said, all opinions welcome. Steve from Milwaukee says this, Earl's interview with the president was a good interview. And tell my crew to get behind the man who won the primary, meaning Joe Biden. Either way, it doesn't matter who the nominee is because we have to keep Trump, the wannabe dictator, out. Thanks for listening. Thanks for texting, Steve. Gary from Madison, again, listening from WMDX. He says this, I heard Earl's interview with Biden. Joe spent too much time bad talking Trump when he should be talking more about himself and his accomplishments. Well, that's one of the reasons that, again, sharing my opinion with y'all, I'm supporting Joe Biden and frankly, anyone that will head up the Democratic ticket. And one of the reasons that I'm doing that is because I think Joe Biden has accomplished an incredible amount of good for the middle class. I don't care about the donor class. I don't care about political elites. I don't really care about the people that do commentary, including myself. I care actually about the middle class, my neighbors, my friends, my colleagues, my family. Joe Biden has gotten it done for the middle class. That's why every day, as much as I can, I try to cover another one of Joe Biden's past policy accomplishments or one of his future policy promises to Wisconsinites and middle class folks like you and me. Tony Z pointing out that Earl disclosed, as I just said, his campaign had provided the questions before the interview. And he said that on Wednesday. Thank you, Tony. Steady Eddie from the 608. Maggie, Joe Biden sounded clear and coherent in this interview with Earl. It's dangerous to allow anyone to edit interviews at the request of the person being interviewed. We agree, Steady Eddie. I'm trying to support Joe Biden's reelection effort. Now there are enough questions about Joe Biden's physical and cognitive health for me to believe Joe should undergo a complete and thorough physical and cognitive exam by independent and objective doctors. Results should be released to the voters. Hopefully a good decision can then be made by Joe and the Dems about whether Joe should continue or if VP Harris should take the reins. Trump should be challenged to take the same exam. Hear, hear, brother, because that's exactly what I was going to say, Steady Eddie. Couldn't agree with you more. If everybody's going to demand that Joe Biden get checked out for cognition, frankly, let's throw in the little diagnostic test for psychopathy and pathological narcissism, and then demand that Trump take the same psych and cognitive exams, because boy, I think the American voters deserve to see those results as well. Amy from Madison saying, oh, Tracy from, I think it was Tracy from, I forget where Tracy was from. I want to be correct. Tracy from Johnson Creek, you're so wrong. Maggie has the best show on the network. That's all I got today. Thank you, Amy. I really appreciate that. One of the things that I wanted to do today was give everyone absolutely a shot at sharing their opinion about what happened, unedited by me, which seems to be the theme of the day. So completely unfiltered by me as best I could. And for me to get to what I always share with you, which is my fundamental bottom line opinion. Here's my bottom line opinion. I don't think the edits should have happened. They were, in my opinion, not all that material. The very fact of making the edit itself, if you do it, can then become a thing, right? And that's the problem. You just want to give people the interview and its full unadulterated glory. But I absolutely know to a certainty, because I know Earl and I know his production team, nobody was thinking about like, oh, we're doing the campaign a favor. They knew it was a long interview. A couple of what they thought were not a big deal edits were requested and they made them on the fly. So again, I don't think any bad intent here, but civic media sage Weil, our CEO, doing the right thing, coming forward, talking openly about it and sharing the information with the American people. So ultimately the voters can make a decision about whether or not they think this was important. My opinion, at the end of the day, this is a really good learning experience for me as an opinion commentator. I know for Earl, I've talked to him about it, and I think for our company overall. So a good learning experience. But at the end of the day, this isn't about Civic. This is about Joe Biden. And so I want to wrap this up. I'm going to take one last breath. If you've got your last onions that you would like to say, you better get them in now. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And we do have one last comment. Mike from Fond du Lac saying, "Oh, geez, another nothing burger. Such a trivial thing to speak about. Sure, the president wanted an interview to stay in the lane and on point. I have no problem with this." Mike, like all of the hubbub about Joe Biden, I think the vast majority of just regular people who do not live and breathe and work in the media and in the political atmosphere are like, I'm sorry, is it news that Joe Biden is old and sometimes is a little slow, that misspeaks, kind of rambles on about stuff? Joe Biden ain't a public speaker, never has been, not a good one anyways. But what he is a wonk. The man knows a lot, he has done a lot, and he continues to get a ton done for the middle class. Now, you're not going to want to miss what I've got coming up next, because it's high time we start directing that sharp light of scrutiny and criticism at the megalomaniac that's running on the other ticket for the White House. We're going to take some sound when we come back of Donald Trump's rambling nonsense that he spews at rallies. He just had one at Mar-a-Lago this past Tuesday. We'll take a listen because I think it raises some issues about Donald Trump's cognitive abilities. We'll take a listen when we get back. And I've got a really interesting op-ed I want to share with you about that very rally. It's what you would call sarcasm. And I really appreciated it. Y'all aren't going to miss that, because then we're going to move on to the VP Olympics. I've been waiting to talk about this for a couple of days. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these brief messages.
Can't you see I'm calling a guy like you should wear a
wig. I'm always trying to, you know, come with the heavy if we can, come with the real. I always enjoy a little Britney in the afternoon. I hope you do too. I'm Maggie Dawn, joined by Jess in the production booth. If you do want to call today, be sure you say hello. So thankful to have her with me. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Donald Trump had a rally Tuesday at Mar-a-Lago, and it was in keeping, true to form, in keeping with, you know, his standard modus operandi, completely Looney Tunes. And I think it's only appropriate with, again, the incredible scrutiny and pressure that is focused on Joe Biden, and frankly, daily challenges from different people that he's not okay, he's not fit, all this hubbub. When on the other hand, you've got a guy who also is clearly, I mean, if you accept that Joe Biden might have some cognitive abilities, do you really think Trump is less cognitively impaired? He may be differently cognitively impaired. So, okay, let's accept as an argument that they're both suffering from some sort of cognitive impairment. Okay, then the next question would be, which cognitive impairment is more dangerous for the country, right? Like, this is how you would sort of do a bit of back and forth on this. Does anyone think that the people around Joe Biden would let him do anything terrible? No. But Donald Trump is assembling, you know, an entire cadre of sycophants and personal loyalists, the B team, because he used up everybody on the A team in his first administration, and none of them will touch him with a 10-foot pole, right? He's got the B team of sycophants, know-nothings, have never been here before, and loyalists. And the man is probably a pathological narcissist, at least, right? So, which, again, if you accept that Joe Biden might be, you know, not as cognitively sharp, well, Donald Trump has some cognitive impairments as well. And the question should really be, which one is a greater threat? Now, if Joe Biden chooses to step down, and we've got now presidential candidate Kamala Harris, boy, that's an exciting campaign. That's an exciting contest. Let's schedule a debate every week between now and November. I mean, I'm here for it. I love watching the woman and listening to the woman speak. But right now, what we got is these two guys. So if we're going to give so much criticism and Democrats are going to be beating themselves up about Joe Biden, where the heck are the Republicans beating themselves up about the threat and the cognitive impairments for Donald Trump? This is what I'm talking about. Let's take a listen. This is a bit of Donald Trump at his rally on Tuesday.
Oh, that's a lot, Marco. That's a lot, Marco. I think they probably think I'm going to be announcing that Marco is going to be vice president. I don't know. Because that's a lot of press. That's a lot of press. Let's do another debate this week so that sleepy Joe Biden can prove to everyone all over the world that he has what it takes to be president. But this time it will be man to man, no moderators, no holes barred. Just name the place, anytime, anywhere. I'm also officially challenging Crooked Joe to an 18-hole golf match right here. Underau's Blue Monster, considered one of the greatest tournament golf courses anywhere in the world, one of the great courses of the world. It will be among the most watched sporting events in history, maybe bigger than the Ryder Cup or even the Masters.
Even the Masters.
I mean, he's got to throw in the promo for his own place, of course.
Right. The man can't help but plug his own golf course. This is not a reliable individual from a cognitive standpoint. I mean, the whole thing about electric boats and the motors and the drowning and the sharks. I mean, what are we doing here? I have to read a little bit. This is an op-ed written by Rex Hupke. He's a USA Today columnist. It's freaking hilarious. The title reads, "Can't wait for all of the media coverage of Trump's confusing Tuesday night rally." Because like crickets, there haven't been. Here's some of the, again, this is Rex Hupke from USA Today. During the event, the former president slurred words, claimed his son Don Jr. is married when he's actually just engaged, and consistently described the world around him in a manner wholly inconsistent with reality. During one heartbreaking moment, Trump stopped talking for a full minute, while the usual eerie music, favored by an unhinged conspiracy group QAnon, played in the background. Trump sweatily moved his head back and forth and randomly pointed at people, appearing to not know exactly what he was doing. It was tough to watch, but there's little question that the 78-year-old no longer has the faculties needed to take on President Joe Biden in the race for the presidency. It's now up to Trump's family and responsible members of the Republican Party to find a way for him to gracefully step aside and let a younger and more competent candidate take over. You know, possibly someone like Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, like we laugh at it because it's so absurd, but this is actually what should be happening in the Republican Party. And they're totally unconcerned. Oh, yes, the man might foment another violent insurrection, denies that our elections are as secure as any in the entire Democratic world. They promote lies every day. The man can't say anything without lying or plugging his golf course, apparently. I mean, what? Talk about false equivalencies and complete double standards. Just interesting to note, at one point during Tuesday's rally, Trump said tourists who go to Washington, D.C. and visit the Jefferson Memorial or the Washington Monument end up getting shot, mugged, and raped. Just as a statistic, this is a fact, violent crime in Washington, D.C. is down more than 20% this year. And crime nationwide has plummeted over the last 25 years. I mean, don't believe the hype. Here's another one. He also called America a third world nation. He talked about Hannibal Lecter again on Tuesday. I mean, what are we talking about? And then Donald J. Trump, the man who stood at the Capitol on January 6th and asked people to storm Congress to interrupt the counting of electoral votes, had the audacity on Tuesday night to say this: "We are a nation where free speech is no longer allowed." Well, don't worry, Donald, because the Supreme Court just put a crown on your head. So, in fact, there is free speech. It's just free speech for presidents, because now presidents are kings. Thank you, Justices Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Clarence Thomas, Amy Coney Barrett, and, of course, the incomparable Neil Gorsuch. The five-fecta of sycophancy from the Supreme Court. I mean, for real. I'm just so sick and tired of Democrats tearing our president down, tearing each other apart, drawing lines in the sand, acting like one side's good and the other side's bad, meeting the sides of the argument about whether or not Joe Biden should continue. When the enemy is at the gate, the threat is Donald Trump, not a slightly cognitively declined or even a severely cognitively declined Joe Biden. That ain't the threat. Let's get it clear. Don't go anywhere. The VP Olympics are next here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. You can join the VP Olympics, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll be back in a moment.
So there's a shark 10 yards away from the boat.
Chained our hearts in vain, we jumped, never asking why. We kissed, I fell under your spell of love no one could deny. Don't you ever say I just walked away, I will always want you. I can live.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. Happy almost Friday. I sometimes come in like a wrecking ball, you know, Jess? It's the thing. Unfortunately, folks, the Pittsburgh Pirates took a wrecking ball to the Brewers this afternoon. They had an afternoon game. That one just finished up. The Brewers losing in an absolute pitching duel this afternoon. The Pirates take that one zip after the Brewers kicked their butts yesterday, a 9-0 win for the Brewers. Because I love baseball, I always got to give you the update, but never fear, Brewers fans. We are still 5.5 games up on the St. Louis Cardinals and a full 10 games up on those dreaded Chicago Cubs. So all is well in Brewers fandom. Sorry, Fancy Brian. Even when you're not here, we'll talk crap about the Cubs. But let's get to the VP Olympics. The three final contenders, now there are still some long shots, but the three final contenders that most prognosticators think are still in the running are Senator Marco Rubio from Florida, Senator J.D. Vance from Ohio of hillbilly elegy fame, and Governor Doug Burgum, the guy that nobody's heard of from North Dakota. Okay, so here's the question, and I want to hear from all of you about this. If you're Donald Trump, who do you pick, right? If you're Donald Trump and you want to win, who are you picking for your VP, right? Because this is what VP picks, again, you generally try to pick a VP candidate for your ticket that represents a state or a region that you're not from. In other words, to attract other voters. Maybe it hits a demographic that you don't naturally have a lot of pull with, or someone that just reaffirms your brand and your campaign messaging really well. So there are very, very clear pro and cons to each and every one of these candidates. But my question to you, let's do a little thought experiment this afternoon. If you're Donald Trump and you want to win, who are you picking? Rubio, Vance, or the guy that nobody's heard of, Doug Burgum? That is the question to all of you. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Sue from Franklin already texting in, not a white guy, duh. I mean, this would, my opinion, I won't bury the lead here. I'm picking Marco Rubio. Now, the problem with Senator Rubio, of course, is that he and Donald Trump both are residents of the state of Florida. And the 12th Amendment of the Constitution prevents the president and VP from being from the same state. In fact, Donald Trump acknowledged that fact. He was on Brian Kilmeade on Fox News Radio just this week. He admitted or acknowledged that a Rubio pick would be more complicated, quote, and that there are, quote, people that don't have that complication, end quote. So clearly they're aware of that. I think Rubio also appeals because he's very, very strongly pro-Israel. Rubio has a long stance being very anti-Putin, which I think might help calm some other conservatives. Matt from Germantown texting in, listening on AUK. Well, Donald Trump should pick Marjorie Taylor Greene. Duh. I mean, if I'm not actually answering the question, who do I pick if I'm Trump to win? And I'm asking the question, who do we want Donald Trump to pick to make more entertaining what will be an otherwise very painful campaign season? Yeah, I think, Matt, MTG would be a good way to go because she's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Very Trumpian in that way, MTG. One of the problems with Marco Rubio, however, is that he supported a federal abortion ban at 15 weeks. And now, as we discussed yesterday, Donald Trump is trying to create space to trying to lie to the American people and say, oh, no, Republicans actually don't want a national abortion ban. Yes, they do. What Donald Trump understands is that he doesn't need to legislate it. The Supreme Court will eventually do that for him. So Marco has that drawback. Of course, Marco Rubio, he is Latino. He is the son of Cuban immigrants. He speaks fluent Spanish. He ain't a white dude, as Sue from Franklin pointed out. So again, I think that would build steam. That would help Trump try to take more Hispanic or Latino votes, convince more of Hispanic and Latino voters to move over to the Republican ticket and support Trump. That has been a key tactic for Republicans over the last 10 or so years. And indeed, they've made some inroads even before Donald Trump. So that's kind of the Rubio plus minus. Now, it has been a long and winding road, as the Beatles would say, for the Veep Olympics. Basically, Trump has conducted, you know, in sort of marionette puppeteer style, a public audition cycle for the Veeps. They've all had to show up at the rallies, effusively praise the president. They've had to go through the news interviews where they say really nice things about Donald Trump over and over and over again, you know, because the man has such thick skin and it's really never about him. It's mostly about service to the country. So he doesn't really want the focus on him at all. Oh, wait, no. That's not Donald Trump. I've digressed. They've also had to come down and kiss the ring at Mar-a-Lago. I mean, lots of auditioning going on here. Another question that I think is really interesting is, like, when does Trump actually announce the VP pick? Now, his last event before the RNC is a rally in Western Pennsylvania on Saturday. Now, that rally would sort of be like prime hunting grounds, target-rich environment for a Vice President J.D. Vance announcement. Why? Because that area of Pennsylvania is really kind of a MAGA core voter hot zone, right? If you think Hillbilly Elegy and J.D. Vance's appeal, J.D. Vance is sort of the ultimate MAGA, the face of the new MAGA party, if you will. That is J.D. Vance. I mean, he wrote the stinking book on it in Hillbilly Elegy. So that would seem to be a natural fit. The other complicating thing is, so discounting the Pennsylvania event on Saturday, then we're into the RNC. Well, little point of fact, the Republican National Committee's rules state that the VP has to be picked on Monday. It's the same day that they formally adopt the platform for the RNC. So it's a closed door kind of thing. At least it is this year, because they're not doing those discussions publicly, which they had in the past. So the party is supposed to formally pick their presidential and vice presidential candidate, or at least who they're putting forward on the slate for the sort of formal processes on Monday. Well, how's that going to work, right? Because I think Trump kind of wants to save the spotlight. He's enjoying building all the tension around the VP pick. He said on the same Fox News radio interview, quote, "I'd love to do it," meaning the vice presidential announcement, "I'd love to do it during the convention. It would be very interesting buildup and important for the convention." I mean, obviously, the guy's an entertainer. He knows that people will be watching. The more eyeballs he can get, the better for Trump. That's how he rolls. By the way, there was this weird small tangent that was in the press that, like, Trump didn't like J.D. Vance's beard. He was actually asked about it by Fox News Radio, and Trump responded, "No, I like his beard. He looks like a young Abraham Lincoln." This is the absurdity of the moment. Over here on the Democratic side, we have people debating the future of our democracy and whether or not Joe Biden should continue to be the standard bearer despite his 54 years of service and his record of accomplishments as president. Oh, over in the other camp, they're letting a megalomaniac lead us to authoritarianism who wants to be a dictator on day one, wears a crown on his head, and we're debating the merits of beards on vice presidential candidates. I gotta take a breath. It's just too much sometimes. Yui. The other interesting thing about J.D. Vance, of course, is that he started out, right, sharply criticizing the president early in Trump's term. Now, they have repaired their relationship. They're like close buddies now. Another issue with J.D. Vance, a plus to Trump, is that J.D. Vance is an immigration hardliner. I mean, hardliner of hardliners. So that, again, he's really the MAGA whisperer here. If Trump wants to go hard to the base, J.D. Vance is the pick. It's interesting, on that exact point, I mean, Vance is sort of the ultimate fanboy of Donald Trump, if you will. Reflecting this, at a rally in March, J.D. Vance talked about, excuse me, Donald Trump talked about J.D. Vance 12 times. I don't know if Donald Trump's talked about anybody else except like Crooked Hillary and Sleepy Joe more than a dozen times because he's so self-obsessed. But okay, so that's J.D. Vance. Again, cons, J.D. Vance also said he would support the 15-week federal abortion ban. J.D. Vance is a Yalie, so he kind of has a little bit of that elite patina. But again, the author of Hillbilly Elegy. Also, Trump doesn't like people who are butt kissers. I mean, he does, but he doesn't, right? Like, he wants you to be perfectly loyal, but he doesn't want you to appear to be a sycophant. Trump once said of Vance, "JD is kissing my burp. He wants my support so much." Well, that's lovely. Here's the other con to JD Vance is the fact that he is from Ohio. Ohio is really no longer a swing state, so Trump doesn't really get any electoral boost from Vance at all. J.D. Vance also isn't going to get you any swing voters, doesn't bring you any gender or ethnic appeal, no other geographic appeal. Perhaps maybe another negative is that J.D. Vance is considered to be a rising star on the MAGA right. Maybe Trump doesn't want to compete for the spotlight. Who knows? And then we get to good old Doug Burgum, whom no one has heard of, but is a really rich, rich software executive. So, of course, he's an old white dude with a pile of money. So, yep, him and Trump are basically kismet, get along super well. Doug's never criticized Trump. So those are all like huge pluses. Trump also views Burgum really as a potential fundraising golden goose with the donor set. So that's another huge, huge plus. Finally, Doug Burgum, even his name, Doug Burgum. Yep, Doug ain't stealing the spotlight from Trump. So if he's, you know, gets along with Trump, he's a rich old white dude, has a lot of donor rich old white dude friends, and won't steal the spotlight. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I submit to you that Doug Burgum is the dark horse of the VP Olympics poses zero threat to Trump and has oodles and caboodles of money. Here's a factoid for you on Doug Burgum. The man spent $28,000 a vote to make himself governor of North Dakota. I just want that.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. Let's let this fact sink in. Doug Burgum spent $28,000 per vote of his own money to make himself governor of North Dakota. Yeah. Yeah. You heard it here. Doug Burgum, the guy nobody knows, I think is the dark horse, top level contender for the vice presidential candidacy. He doesn't come with the Vance baggage. He has no beard. He owns no currency. No, he actually owns lots of currency. And he's not from Trump's home state of Florida. Mark my words, Doug Burgum may take the gold in the VP Olympics. When we come back, I got to round out the week with Joe Biden's top 100. We're going to talk about infrastructure, the sexiest of political topics these days. I'm Maggie Dawn. Jess is in the booth. It's a beautiful Thursday afternoon. And I always come at like a wrecking ball. We'll be back in just a moment. Keep it locked. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, I don't know if this is confirmed, but I do think, folks, so I'm not making any promises here. I do think Sage Weil is going to join Mike Crute and Dominic Salvia in the next hours at the top of the 4 o'clock hour on the Devil's Advocates. They'll have an additional conversation about whether or not the campaign's decision to have Earl Ingram's interview with President Biden have these two small portions deleted, whether or not that's a big game changer or not. The last comment I'll make on that before I go to Joe Biden's top 100 for today is this. I would bet every penny I've got that President Biden was totally unaware that the campaign asked for those tiny little pieces to be deleted. Right? Totally unaware of it. This is the kind of stuff that staff does, right? That handlers do. So I would be absolutely flabbergasted if the president had any awareness that that had occurred or that he was at all concerned about exactly what he said or that the full interview would have been run. So query, why, whom and why from the campaign did they ask for those edits to be made? I think that's actually the burning question more than anything. Had to share this punchline with you after I laid out on the air that Doug Burgum, governor of North Dakota, spent $28,000 per vote to become governor. Matt from Germantown gave us this zinger. So he spent like $280,000 there because there's, what, like 10 people in North Dakota. Matt, I appreciate your late Thursday afternoon humor. No offense intended to all the beautiful people of North Dakota who might be listening on the Civic Media app or on our website, civicmedia.us. A texter from WXCO, the 920, said, if Trump's running mate is from his home state, doesn't Trump lose those electoral votes? That's the complication with the 12th Amendment. It prohibits a president and vice president to hail from their same home state. Obviously, Marco Rubio is a current sitting senator So how does that work? Would someone move? It's not going to be Trump. Does Rubio give up his... I mean, there's just a lot of complications there. If neither one of them moved, Trump's given up 30 electoral votes because that's what Florida's got, 30 electoral votes. Matt from Germantown making clear that his lovely parents are from North Dakota. And so, of course, Matt meant no offense. Let's talk a little bit about Biden's top 100. I want to talk about ports, which are essential given where we sit here in the great state of Wisconsin on not one, but two Great Lakes. Green Bay, Joe Biden has funded an incredible $10.1 million for the Port of Green Bay site development project. Ultimately, the total cost, the total amount from the Biden administration to Green Bay's port is about $30.2 million. They're going to use this to redevelop the former power plant site at the mouth of the Fox River. If you've ever driven up from Milwaukee up to, say, the Door County Panhandle or Peninsula out there, I shouldn't say Panhandle, Peninsula, the little finger of Wisconsin, you've driven over this interstate in Green Bay. And again, the goal here is to really make that site into an active port, commercial port for Fox Lake and Lake Michigan. There's going to be $4.2 million for rail service, engineering nearly $1 million, $500,000 for road servicing the port. This will boost economic activity. It is expected to generate $87 million in economic activity over the next 5 years for Green Bay and the state of Wisconsin. That's Joe Biden working for Green Bayers and the state of Wisconsin and the middle class. In Kenosha, the Kenosha County Bicycle Trail, so boats and bikes, Joe Biden, $5.6 million for the Kenosha County Bicycle Trail. It's gonna extend the bicycle trail system in the city of Kenosha from 35th Street to 52nd Street. They're going to separate bike and pedestrian traffic from cars. It's a real significant expansion of the Gateway Technical College Trail, the Bain School of Language and Art Trail, and a to-be-built development as well. So huge boon to the city of Kenosha and Kenosha County. Public transit, Joe Biden also getting it done for Racine. So not Racine getting in on the Joe Biden middle-class supporting action here. Joe Biden has helped Racine expand its electric bus fleet as its older diesel buses are retired out of service. There was a 2022 grant of around $3.8 million. And that grant will allow the city to expand its electric fleet up to 13 buses. So huge, big dollars for Racine and its bus electrification programs. Last but certainly not least, airports in Appleton and Wausau-Mosinee. Joe Biden getting it done for Appleton and Wausau-Mosinee. The 2024 Appleton International Airport Expansion and Modernization. Appleton's airport has had its passenger numbers like double over the last 10 years, which is really terrific for Appleton and its citizens. The total project cost is around $66 million, the Biden administration committing $3.4 million to that work. That $3.4 million is going to go primarily towards boarding bridges from the gates to the plane, as well as equipping the airport with solar power. In total, this project is expected to generate an additional $700 million of economic activity over its lifetime. Nearly $1 billion to Appleton in economic activity. That's going to support the middle class and your families and mine. In Wausau and Mosinee, the 2023 Central Wisconsin Airport Radio and Air Traffic Modernization Plan. That is nearly $1 million from the Biden administration for the air traffic controller tower alone. Again, that is Joe Biden getting it done. It's been a week, y'all. I've got tomorrow off. We'll have some greatest hits of the Maggie Dawn Show for you. We'll carefully curate something for each and every one of you. So with that, I wish you a wonderful, safe, and happy weekend. I hope the weather is gorgeous. And remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together here on the Maggie Dawn Show. The Devil's Advocates Radio is next.
He loves you and he needs money.